Ephesians chapter 5. This is going to be kind of different today. I read this book years ago, and it made me get to thinking about things. And I've watched it over time, because that's what I happen. I'll read a book, and I'll say, now that's kind of strange. And then I'll let the Lord deal with me about it, and then I'll see if it works that way. And it does. So this is pertaining to married couples. If Amy wants to come out, that's fine. Okay, all right. It's for married couples, but it's also dealing with just getting along with people and understanding people a little bit. And I just kind of named it, what language are you speaking? And so you can put that on there. What language? Are you running the controls there? Okay. What language are you speaking? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. And as I was married for 39 years, and if you've been married any time at all, or just you've understand that you don't understand your mate, or we have friends and relatives, and or people in the church, and we just don't understand them. We say, I just don't know what makes them tick. Going to just start to reason at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, and it's talking about husband and wives and the church, of course. But the more I, over the time I got to watching people on this, I saw not only in marriage this people don't understand each other, and we know that because you hear that all the time. Well, I just don't understand them. I just don't understand her. I just don't understand him. And but it works also if you're working with somebody, or you're in church with somebody, and you try to get along with them, and they're just, you don't know what makes them tick. So anyway, we'll read this here, and verse 20, starting to verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, what I'm looking at, I'm not talking about the submitment, but I'm just talking about the connection between the two of how, with the relationship. Okay, verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we're members of his body, of one of his flesh, and of one and of his bones. Now let me stop right here. Do you think the Lord Jesus Christ understands you? Do you think you understand Jesus Christ? It's kind of lopsided, isn't it? Okay. Now, 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So you see there, because Christ understands us, and all through the Word, he's trying to get us to understand him. We understand him from reading the book and prayer and spending time with him. So he understands us completely, but we have to study to understand him. Right? And it, so with that in mind, look over at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. And look at verse 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection unto your own husband, that if any man, any obey not the word, that also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornaments of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. Again, now you see what's going on here. He's talking about between a man and a wife, or if you're going to get along with anybody, there's some things that you need to understand. Okay, verse 5, for after this manner in old time the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed her Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wives as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessings, knowing that you are therewith called, that you should inherit a blessing. Now, let's go to the word in prayer, okay? Father, again, we do thank you for your mercy and your grace. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, and thank you for your word, Lord, and we need your help today. This is something that is biblical, it's scriptural, and Lord, we need to understand it to get along with each other, again, of how each other works and how we think things are to be, and sometimes they don't turn out that way. But Lord, we need your help today, and so we take this, ask you to take this, and Lord, you apply it to how you want to do it today, as we yield ourselves to you, and we'll give you the glory for it. In thy name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Something that you want to remember, it seems that most Christians are just coming out of crisis, in crisis, or going into crisis of some kind. Now, that's your life. And I, this day and age, I think that will work for even unsaved people. And so you say, when does it ever settle? It doesn't. Not till the Lord calls us home. And so we have to remember that. Most of the time, to see things right, we need to move out of darkness into the light of Christ. Whatever it is that we don't understand, and the reason for doing that, we walk around in darkness so much about certain things. And folks, that is not accidental. That has been perpetrated upon Christians. That if and so we have to move from darkness. The only way you're going to understand anything is for when Christ allows us, and we allow Christ to move us out of the darkness into light, and so we can get a better perspective of the things going on around in our life. And let me tell you what, perspective, getting a different perspective about things, changes everything. And that's what this is about today, trying to get you to look at something, a different, well, just a better perspective about your life and the ones around you. Now, when you look at, real quick, look at Psalm 73, and basically, we're not going to use a whole lot of, this is the scripture we're using, but look at Psalm 73, and we're talking about getting a better perspective. Because you know what? If you're just walking around in the dark all the time about not understanding something or someone, you get a very bleak outlook at things, don't you? Why? Because you don't, you try and you believe they try, but nobody gets it. We just don't get it. And so we end up in trouble, and so we need to understand that we just need to get moved out of the light or dark into the light to get a better perspective of it. So look at Psalm 73, and this is a good illustration here of David. It wasn't David, it was Asaph, but King Asaph, about how he looked at things and how downtrodden they were. So verse 1 says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But look now, he says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Now you notice Asaph's perspective of things. Did you ever think about something or see something and you got a perspective about it, but when light came to it, it wasn't that way at all? You understood it. And this is what David is doing. He's looking at what's going on. And so verse 4, for there are no hands in their death, or no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compassed them about as chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have no more. They have more than they could wish for. Asaph's perspective, looking at them, they've got everything going for them. And we look at things like that, and we can't figure out why. He said in verse 7, their eyes stand out with fatness. Verse 8, they are corrupt, even though they live wicked. They speak wickedly concerning oppression against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people returned hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. But now look, jump down to verse 16. And when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. His perspective of something going on put him in, it was too painful, depression almost. And then, remember what I said? We have to get moved out of darkness into light. Verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. That changed Asaph's whole perspective about everything that was going on. And you know what? It just wasn't as bad as what his perspective was at first about it. Folks, this is something you want to remember. It is never as bad as what it seems to be. In our mind, that's it. And where do you get perspective? In your left arm? No, it's between your ears. It's your brain. And it's never, I tell you what, we are working for a guy that just tacks you to the end. And I between my ears, I can dream up, and you know what? Folks, it's never as bad as what it seems to be. We just need to get moved out of the darkness into the light, and that changes our whole perspective. Now, I watch couples, and ever since I read this little book and everything, I watch couples, and I've been watching them, and just people in the church. that have been married a while, and I find out that in many cases they just don't understand each other. And I watch people and I hear people say, you know, problems going on in church, and not only do they don't understand their mate, they don't understand people in the church, and they want to try to get along with each other. If you ask them, and I've asked couples, they will tell you that he or she just does not understand me. Anybody agree with that? Now, not only married folks, but people in every walk of life, at your work, at your job, even in the church, we try to tell each other what makes us feel loved or wanted, and how we give love, but most of us don't take the time to listen and learn the dialect. You say, what are you using that word for? Well, it's a dialect they're speaking. So, because everybody speaks a dialect. Let me give you an illustration. Have you ever talked to a foreigner? You don't even have to go to a foreigner. You can just go down to Alabama or Mississippi or Louisiana. And you're talking English and they're talking English, but you're going, I don't understand a word you're saying. You ever had that? You talk to, I have, with hearing aids, I have terrible time of picking up with somebody that, Oriental or something, that you know, they're speaking English, but I can't understand what they're saying. And that's why we talk this thing, everybody speaks a dialect. They're all speaking the same thing, a language, but their dialect is different. And so, if you don't understand that dialect, you're not going to understand them. Now, if I was to ask you, how do you know and feel someone loves you? If I was to ask you, okay, pick on your parents or your sisters or your brothers or your mom and dad. If you came from a good family and your dad and mom loved each other, I would ask you to say, okay, how do you know, if I was talking to one of you, I was talking to Sonia, and I'd say, Sonia, how do you know that somebody loved you? And I'd say, did your mom and dad love each other? Oh, yeah. Well, how do you know? And she would give you a list of things. I don't know what it was. Well, he did this or said this or whatever. But that's over into her, and it's the same way with Cheryl, and it's the same way with Jason. I mean, I could go through the whole, it's everybody. Shannon, I mean, that everybody from their heritage picks up a dialect of what in their life makes them feel loved and wanted. Now listen to this. Not only is that the way they feel loved and wanted, but that's the way they give love. Okay? Now, there's nothing strange about this. It may be a little bit different. Okay? So we're talking about the different dialects. If I would ask you how do you know and feel someone loves you, and you might say, well, when they tell me they love me, or tell me how good I look, or they tell me how good a job I'm doing. Now when we talk about this dialect, we're going to see that there's mainly four major ones, but some people will always have a primary dialect that they feel, that makes them feel loved. It may lean over into others, But everyone's got a primary one. And so men will have a tendency more one way on one than maybe women do. But that's not necessarily a proven thing. It can go both ways. So remember what I'm saying. If I was to ask you, and you might, how do you know someone loves you? You might say, when they tell me, or how they love me, or they tell me how good I look, or how good a job I've done, or tell me that I'm a good person. They tell me these things, and I listen to this. But if I go to somebody else and ask them the same question, how do you know and feel someone loves you? They may say, when they do this for me, or when they help me do this, or have they helped me do that. It just makes me feel like they love and care for me. I'll guarantee you, we went through two of them right now, and somebody in here's one or the other of them already. Now, that person that feels loved or cared for when things are done for them, you can tell them 20 times a day that you love them, and you know what it does? It goes, they don't get it. And it will just, it'll go right over their head like it doesn't even, it went in one ear and out the other, and it did. Even though you're standing there speaking the same language, but they don't understand the dialect. It is strange to them, because to them, they hear, I love you very much, when the little things, when somebody does something for them. You can say it 40 times a day and it means nothing. But when you do something special for them, that tells them you love them and cares for them and they feel safe. The words mean very little to them. Oh, they're good to hear. They're good to hear. And that person, that's the way they will give love and care. By what? Doing. Okay? They don't, this thing of hearing it said means nothing to them. But boy, doing it. That's how they know they feel loved and cared for, and so they're going to that's the way they give love. They're not going to tell you they love it. And so you see what I'm talking about? Just in two here, we've got, if one person likes to hear it and the other person likes to have things done, and the one person that hear, he keeps telling his mate, I love you, I love you, I love you, and she's saying, he don't love me because he doesn't do anything for me. Because that's all she understands. Or vice versa. Now, again, there are four major dialects that we convey and feel loved. Somebody may have a couple, but you've got one predominant one. Okay? We just talked about two of them, the spoken words of approval, and of others, of favors and deeds done, and they like that little things done for them. Now, I'm not talking about this as a honey-do list, because everybody gets them, right? Although they could be part of it. The third is a physical contact, okay? And this can be from just a handshake to a pat on the back, to the other end of the spectrum, sexual relationship. But a quick back rub, you know, run by and just scratch somebody, your mate's back, or Now, you shouldn't be doing that to them. But just a pat on the back to a friend, a head scratch, a hug, or a kiss. These are all common forms of this dialect. People who speak the dialect of physical contact tends to feel most love when affection is expressed in this way, in this form. And sometimes that's the only way they feel loved. You can say it 20 times a day and mean it from your heart. You can do everything in the world for them, all the little jobs around, and do everything, but without that physical contact, they don't feel loved. And that is the way they show their love. They're not going to tell you they love you. They're not going to do it, but you know what? They're always wanting to hug. They're just wanting to be close, walk around holding hands, all this sort of and right? Yeah. Now, this has nothing to do with right or wrong, but it is the only dialect that they understand so far. These types of person who speaks the dialect of physical contact, you know what they're like? They're like a cat. Me and Shannon was standing out there, and I just got through studying yesterday. He came in, and that stupid black cat of mine came out. And he was just a rubbing all over me, and rubbing, and laid down, and I took my foot and I rubbed him. See, I can whistle at that cat, I can holler at that cat, whatever that, and he just doesn't care. You know what he demands? He'll come and lie down in front of me and just flop over. He's wanting my physical contact. So I take my foot and I rub him, and I rub on his back. I can't do it with my hands but that's what some people are like. And there's nothing wrong with that. Again, you can tell them you love them 50 times, means nothing. You can do everything in the house that they ever asked you to do, means nothing to them. They'll still walk away and say, he didn't love me, or she didn't love me. Why? Because of that physical contact. That's the way they feel loved, and that's the way they express their love to somebody else. So they're like a little cat. You really don't have to do much for a cat. You don't even have to really feed them. They'll go out and kill their own. You don't have to pay any attention to them, to about what you say or do. Huh? You can't really call them to come to you because they won't. Cats just want rubbed and scratched. That's how they feel love, and that's how they express love. That cat will come up and rub his face on you and walk under something just so his tail can touch your leg or something. That's all he cares about. And all he's saying is, touch me. Oh, please, just touch me and scratch me, just any place. That's the way some people are. They're begging for physical attention. Just to be touched. The fourth would be love expressed in quality time. To a person who speaks this dialect, it doesn't matter if you touch them, do something for them, or tell them repeatedly that you love them. The only thing that matters is quality time one-on-one together. Question. How many women have you ever heard say, I just wish he would spend more time, we could spend more time together? Or just... he's just not around. And yet, he's there over half the time or she's there, but you know what they're doing? These people demand one-on-one, sitting down and just talking and even looking at each other, and there'll be physical contact in it, but it's that one-on-one. It's not with the kids. It's not with the anybody. It's just you and them. And it doesn't matter how much you're around the house. It's just you and her. Just listening to her one-on-one. Or him. Some men are that way. Your mate may be speaking the dialect of quality time. They crave time alone with only you to feel loved. And that is how they express their love. They want to be alone with just you. And some people in the church, they like for you to sit down and just talk to them. They want your full attention. That really bothers me when I am talking to somebody and they don't have time for me. That really frosts me. For that person to feel secure in your love, you must learn to speak this dialect. Now, they kind of named this. This is dialect like a little canary. A canary, they don't need to be touched, spoken to, or have anything done for them. Just feed them a little bit. But what they want you to do is just sit around and listen to them sing. And they'll just sing. If you've ever had a canary, and they're singing, and you go back and sit by them, they will just sing. That's all they want. It's undivided attention. I've had people to say, well, I just should have known that about their mate. No, not really. And here's why. We grow up expecting everyone to be just like us. And they're not. I have one main tendency and a second. And I think everybody ought to be that way. You ever have some people, they just don't want to be hugged. Right? You hug them and you made them mad. What? Why? That is not how they like. You can. It's you. You tell them maybe, man, how good that was and everything. And oh, by the way, these people are like little puppies. You start saying, good dog," and they're just right. I mean, the whole body gets the wagon. But that's the way they give love. That's the way they receive love. To a canary, he'd care less what you say to him. Just sit and listen. And you know what? We think everybody grown up is to respond just like we do. And they don't. There'll be one of four main, and then off. And I think women may lead a tendency to one a little more than men, but that's not an absolute case. So, how many times have you heard people divorce? We just don't get along. I don't understand her. I don't understand him. And what they're saying, they haven't taken time to figure out what makes me feel loved and the way I show love. And by the way, I don't guess I took time to figure out what makes them feel loved. They're both speaking the same language, but they don't understand a word each other's saying. The dialect is totally different. Now, one thing about this person that likes to be complimented by words and that, let me give you a word of caution. To that person who speaks the dialect of loving the spoken words of approval, nothing, and I mean nothing, is more devastating than words of disapproval spoken in anger. You can destroy them. Why would that hurt your feelings? Wasn't nothing wrong I said. The way you said it. And why? Because you know what? People can just say something to you and it just bounces right off. You like physical contact. That's the only love you understand. That's the only way you give love. So we don't spend time studying the dialects that people put forth. And when we don't understand that, you know what we're going to do? We're in darkness. We're in darkness about it. And we walk around in darkness. That's why there's over almost 60% divorces. That's why people don't get along in churches. That's why family members can't get along. Because we don't spend time enough with the people that we care about to figure out how they're speaking to us and make sure they understand how we're speaking to them. Oh, you remember the person who feels loved by doing things for them? There's a lot of people that way. You know, it means so much for them, somebody to send them a flower or just come in and do something around the house. I kind of think a lot of women tend, I don't know, maybe, but they just like to have things done for them. They just feel loved. They think, boy, they people really appreciate that. That makes me feel loved. We call them goldfish. A goldfish feels love basically purely on favors and deeds. You can't really touch them. They don't like to be touched. I don't know if they could hear you even if you talked to them. I mean, oh, my little goldfish. I don't know. And so they don't want your affirmation about anything. As far as quality time, they don't care if you're here or not. A goldfish just wants to be fed and then clean the bowl a little bit and straighten up the little castle in it. There you go. And you know what? That's the way they'll show love. They'll come in and they'll start piddling around and just do little things, and that's the way they feel love, and that's the way they give love. Say it 50 times a day. It's nice, but it just goes. Well, go back to 1 Peter chapter 3. And the reason I'm going there is simply we are to study. We're to spend time with people that are close to us to understand what they're saying. Now, like I say, I gave you four dialects. That's the four major ones. Now, there can be offshoots of that. You may have one primary and one secondary a little bit, or just one primary. But everybody's got one. And if we were honest with ourselves and truthful about ourselves, every time we think about a person that we don't get along with, our mate, our children, or someone that we work with, or in the church, it's because they may be screaming to us how to get along with them, and we don't get it because we just don't connect with it. What do you mean? You want to shake hands and a pat on the back? No, I'll just tell you how good of a job. It means nothing. Means nothing. Walk by and give them a hug. Slap on the back for somebody that's working with. You wouldn't do that. But, you know, pat on the back or just, you know, a physical touch. Just what it means everything to them. That's what they understand. Or just to tell them, man, that's a good job. And just pray. And if that's the way they receive love and affection, they will just wiggle and just, oh. And if you watch people, you can figure out. God will show you what they're speaking. And if you try to show your affections any other way, you might as well beat your head against the wall. They're not going to get it no more than you'll get it. And you're not supposed to understand that, because until you're taught, when you moved out of darkness into light, and then when you start, you can start saying, wow, that's kind of obvious what he likes or she likes or that person in church that I don't get along with. You're trying to show affections to them. They don't understand it. And you make them mad. But if you figure out what they understand, wow, you can become friends real close. Well, what language are you speaking? Did God show you anything about yourself? Did God show you anything about your mate? It's how it we need to get moved out of the darkness into light to get a better perspective. Incidents will cause it to change. And the things over the last 10 years have totally changed my whole concept of feeling love and showing love. Yes. And so that will change. Well, you have to. Let me back that up. Yours would never change. It says the circumstance may make it change.
Right, and that's what my primary at work. I don't want them to touch me.
No, but that is still the way you feel. But because of you're in a work environment and the way things are today, you can't do that. I mean, you may pat them on the back or shake their hand, and that's about all you can do.
Yeah, that's how I feel love at work, is by someone saying, hey, great job today. You did a good job. And that means everything at work. It means more than physical contact.
Yeah.
But at home, it's going to be different.
Yeah. Well, it will be different because the circumstances and who you're with is different.
Right.
But you still have one that is kind of above the other. The circumstances will change it because it has to. You start hugging somebody at work today and you're all kind of trouble. And so you're forced to do something, but still probably your main one. If you could come up and say, you know, I'd just like to give you a hug. if that, and nothing sexual, if the world would permit that, that would still be the way to do it. But it won't. So you're right. You have to change that and just get personal with them and shake their hand and say, good job, and try to show, yeah. And so me, mine was praise. I think that's a lot of men. But physical contact is just to, I never realized how much I was that type of person. And God has actually kind of changed that for me. Okay? But that doesn't mean it's not still there. And we was talking the other day. I mentioned that Chuck Colson was a hugger, Jim. And you said, yeah, that is totally contrary to what he was. Because he is a loner. I mean, really. I mean, he just, and brother, and I think I said, Brother Chuck and I were talking about this. And I said, you know, I was a personal contact guy. And the Lord is, change that, and he says, no man, I am a loner, and God has had to change that for me. So if we think about this and let the Lord deal with us about it, I think it would help you. Anybody want to say what you are? I pretty well know. You're so different.
Because I'm so different. I mean, and it's not being mean. Kelly is a doer. You've got to show. Yes, I'll say this. The majority of women do have to hear it, but that's not all women. That's their primary.
Yeah.
Same thing. A lot of women have to have the physical, but not all.
That's only one part of it. That's right. Well, I would say Kelly is a doer. She's like that canary. If you'll just with, she likes to do things and she likes to have things done, but she also likes to be heard.
Yeah.
Now that's not. I mean,
and
she.
And that's changed in our 30 years of marriage.
Mm-hmm. No, there's no right or wrong about it. No, don't ever think there's a right, because they're not. But it's just the way you are. And God's not telling you to change. See? Because there's no right or wrong. All he's saying is we have to learn what that other person is speaking and be able to get away from what we demand to help them feel loved. And when we do that, then they will understand what makes us feel loved and wanted and secure. There's women that just crave for time one-on-one. And there's women that just craved for just physical touch. And I'm not talking about, but just physical touch. That's how they love. That's how they give love. And there's men the same way. So all God's saying, no, don't change what you are. You just try to learn what the other, whether it's your mate or someone in church that you can't get along with, or a child that you just beat heads together all the time. They may be yours, and they may get a lot from you, but they're not you. And what makes them feel loved and give love, it may be totally different than you. So you have to deal with them on that. And that's all God's saying. Don't change. just study each other. And could you see how that could change a marriage? Could you see how that could change a family and a church? Oh, they're twins, but totally different.
One of them is words of affirmation. The other is quality time.
Yeah.
So, you know, once you know that and God gives you that wisdom to be able to discern that, then you know how to do it.
Absolutely. And when they get older, they're again, they don't, it may change, but you got to start watching. You that's why we have to get a new perspective of things. We have to continue in the light to where we can understand and see what, because when they grow, basic circumstances will change you. And so, and again, God is not saying it's right or wrong. And you don't need to worry about changing. Just understand yourself and try to understand the other person to where you can get along. Amen?
That's the hardest part.
Well, it is.
To work at her is because it's so different than what I do.
Absolutely. And we grew up thinking, well, if I marry that woman, she's just like me. What I do. No! Totally different.
So did.
Be that, see, love, feeling wanted, and trust. Because they're not producing what you makes you feel safe and secure and trusted. And that's all goes together. And so when they keep speaking this other dialect, it's just it really angers you. Right? It will. And the other mate's going, I don't know what to do anymore. You ever heard that before? Well, now you know what to do. Start ask them. Any married couple, or say, honey, what do you like? And you are to feel secure enough to say, well, this is what I like. This is what I just crave. Because that's what it boils down to. You crave that. Yeah, they're doing it because they have to. They're doing it because they have to. No. Yeah.
That is one of those, that is part of one of those dialects that, well, why should I have to tell you that?
Yeah.
I'll admit it. She's like, well, what's the big deal? And to me,
it was a big deal. Yeah.
To me, if you want something done, ask. I'll do it.
Yep.
But I don't feel like I should have to ask you.
There you go. How many marriages are that away? Because that's how she feels loved, and that's the way she gives. She will do things for you, and you're going, she didn't have to do that. I don't. You see, when I read this book and I said, nah. And then I started watching people and I'm saying, yeah, this thing is right, man. Justin, do you have something? No. But I'm telling you, Kristen. That's right, Proverbs 21:1. It is, and but it's just as much, but it's just as much responsibility for the wife to start understanding, and not only that, once, and then for the children, but then if you can have that relationship with your children, because they're going to be different, and if they could, if they you could get them to see, well. just because you feel loved this way doesn't mean mom or dad feels this way. We need this. And
that's why you have a natural gravitation. Sometimes one child will have the same primary as the mother. And
there you go.
And sometimes one with the dad. In our case, Stephanie is more like me.
Yep. Like his mother.
I'm just...
Yeah, you know, no, I know it.
But that makes sense because some kids naturally connect better with one parent over the other.
And that's the reason...
They've got the same primary.
And the others think, well, they just favor. They're showing favoritism. No, not really. It's just they understand each other. Isn't this great, really? I mean, it took me months to figure out that this was okay. But it's what's going on in families and causing divorces. And so much
in society has gotten people's mentality to... I had a huge discussion at work with five men standing there about the way the world has perpetrated on the families, to where women are focused on the children instead of on the husband, and men are focused on sports or something else instead of on the wife. That's the way society has came about to us. But the point I was making is, in everybody's mind, back to what you said, well, everybody's like me, so they try to change that other one.
Yep.
And
it don't work. That's right. And he will through time, Kristen. Yeah.
I think that kind of puts us blocked a little bit of what we can do for other people.
That's right. You're exactly right. We Baptists, there's no hugging going on, no. I'll tell you what, John and Brenda are both huggers. John, when you walk in that door, he wants a good, firm, and he wants to know that you're glad to see him.
Amen. Right.
And you don't, if you just, if
Robert's
the same way. Oh, yeah. And boy, Robert needs that. I'm going to say she's like a canary. She likes to do things, and she likes to have things done for you. Is that right? Okay. Because she's always doing something in the church. I just figured that was... But you're right. And this is where this thing... It puts a governor on us responding to people's dialect. And when people come in and we are to start looking at each other, okay, what is this guy? Somebody just don't like to be hugged. No, it's not true. I think, but other men do. And there's nothing wrong with that. Baptists have made it wrong. Absolutely. If you touch another woman, you're sinning. No. You can embrace a woman without sexual contact.
But when that's ingrained in your head for so many years, it is hard to break.
Oh, tell me about it.
Don't get me wrong. The teaching has to be there because I can fully attest that that type of upbringing kept me at a younger age from getting into trouble and doing things, but that rolled into my adult life for a long time to where... And in maybe the last 5 years, I've changed. mm-hmm. from that. But that stuck to me, and it's the same thing she's talking about, that and many other subjects along that same line. It's hard to break.
Yeah. I'll tell you, and you're right. I for a long time, whether to preach this or not, I didn't know how people would take it.
when we read a book like that, it helped our marriage. It really helped our marriage, and we're able to see things. I appreciate you saying about the parents. I never figured that out. I am just like my mother.
Well, see, we get what we say. Well, I'm not like my father or mother. Oh, don't kid yourself. Man, we get so much from them. It's unbelievable. Good and bad. It's just the way it is. But a lot of this stuff, yeah, we don't realize it. And your mother's probably the same way as you are.
Yeah, I like things done.
Yep.
That's just how I am, and I like quality
time. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And hear it. Okay, that's logical. Let's go about our life.
Yeah. But Jason's a different guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But does that make him wrong?
No.
No. No more than it makes you wrong. It makes a difference. It's a perspective. No.
Because they, you know, the old cliche, opposites attract. But once in a while, you will see two people married that are the same primary and
dialect.
Yeah, the same dialect. And you just look at them. And for somebody that's not that dialect, you go.
Yeah. I'll go back to John and Brenda. They are both the same dialect, man. I'm telling you, they are. They are. And you watch them. They'll sit there. She's hanging on him, or he's hanging on her. They just want to touch.
Buck and Shannon are the same way.
Really?
And I used to say, how come you don't have problems and I got problems? I don't have problems. Now that we've lived together for 15 years, why don't you have problems?
Okay, yeah. Sir. No, wait a minute. I didn't.
A true leader.
Yeah.
But that takes, they can read people quick.
Christ went out and loved everybody.
Yeah.
In whatever way.
Well, and that was Christ. He could do that. But we as men don't do that. And that's what he's trying to do. That's what this is about. Because he could read us. Matter of fact, you remember there was men that came to him and believed on him, but he would not receive them because he knew what was in them. But we don't know. So what because everybody, Christ can love everybody and understand everybody. We cannot. We're to love everybody, but that's a lot easier said than done until we understand what they require. You can't do it. The purpose, the whole purpose is to be able to love and get along with everybody. And that's the whole idea of it.
And it takes work among the church because
yes.
You've got to spend a certain amount of time together to get to know everyone.
It's just like a married couple. They got to spend time, a family, to spend time, a church member's got to spend time together to find out how they're speaking. It takes a long time to do that.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and so you're right. The whole issue is for brethren to live in unity together, and understand each other, love each other, just like Christ loved us. He understands us. We don't even understand Him. What do we have to do? Study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed. We got to, and that means we got to study each other, and that's the trouble. If you think about his apostles, that was, Look at Peter and John. Do you think their dialect was the same? No. And you look at all them guys, and Christ recognized all that, and that's what he was dealing with them, of how you guys treating each other, and you... It's all of them. He requires all of them. Oh, I'll tell you what. When he moves into your heart, that is more real than. And when he speaks to you and loves you, that's more real. I can contest to that. When my wife died, when the Lord come in and embraced me, it was greater than even my wife could do. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You even think about it, when the Holy Spirit just sits down in church services with us, how much of a real physical feeling is that?
Mm-hmm. It's a feel of unity. Yeah. So, amen. All right. Well, like I say, I didn't have any idea that'd be. Because I was really apprehensive about preaching this. So you can go ahead and turn that off, Levi.